Hi, this is Pat Fraley, and here's a demonstration and lesson on the most effective and expedient way of getting expressive I've ever bumped into. We applied it to Shakespeare, but it'll hold you in good stead for any voiceover application. Know that I recorded this years ago, so I'm a bit over the top, and the recording was for a project teaching how to read aloud to kids, so it's exaggerated, but you'll get the idea.
I find that there are 8 basic means of emphasizing any given word. Here they are. Getting louder or softer in volume. That's 1 and 2. Going higher or lower in pitch. That's 3 and 4. Making the duration of a word shorter or elongating a word. That's 5 and 6. And 7 and 8 are pausing before or after the word. So that makes it 4 pairs. Once again, dealing with volume, louder or softer. Pitch, higher and lower. Duration, elongating or shortening. And pauses, before and after a word. So while I illustrate these 8 means of emphasis for you, keep them in perspective. Emphasis without meaning can be terribly annoying. It's sort of a big nothing filled with meaningless distractions. The whole idea is to eventually use these means of emphasis to make your reading aloud more expressive, painting pictures with a varied combination of these 8 means to bring stories to life. Now, first we have getting louder and softer in volume. Getting softer with volume is a great way of expressing an idea. It's powerful. Listen to this sentence. First, I'll read it getting louder on the 2 words I want to emphasize. The wind howled through the trees, sweeping dry twigs in the thicket. I wanted to emphasize the words howled and sweeping. Now, I'll read it getting softer on the words howled and sweeping. The wind howled through the trees, sweeping dry twigs in the thicket. Do you notice how lowering the pitch lends import to howling and sweeping? Lowering pitch for emphasis is a wonderful way to galvanize a child's attention. She didn't know who or what was behind the gate. Our next pair, numbers 3 and 4, are raising and lowering the pitch. By that I mean going up in voice pitch or going down in pitch for emphasis. Here is our example again, going up in pitch. The wind howled through the trees, sweeping dry twigs in the thicket. You hear how appropriate it sounded to express howled going up in pitch? Howled! Here's our example again, this time going down in pitch on the words I want to emphasize. The wind howled through the trees, sweeping dry twigs in the thicket. Now, numbers 5 and 6 are elongating a word and shortening the duration of a word for emphasis. Here's an example of elongating words to emphasize. The wind howled through the trees, sweeping dry twigs in the thicket. Elongating words is a great tool for getting expressive. In our example, it seemed to work better emphasizing howled than sweeping. Now, I'll shorten the words howled and sweeping. The wind howled through the trees, sweeping dry twigs in the thicket. The final pair of means to emphasize a word has to do with pauses. Pausing before a word to emphasize or after a word. First, with our example, I'll pause before the words howled and sweeping. The wind howled through the trees, sweeping dry twigs in the thicket. Now I'll pause after these words for emphasis. The wind howled through the trees, sweeping dry twigs in the thicket. That last way makes me sound a little bit like Captain Kirk. Spock, Scotty, I need you now. Which means of emphasis do you tend to overuse when reading aloud? Which means of emphasis do you rarely use when you read aloud? And which means of emphasis do you need to work on? Sure, this is a technical approach, but the whole objective is to increase your ability to use these techniques. As your expressiveness grows, you'll appreciate the time you put into this. You'll find that each of the 8 colors of emphasis brings something different to the meaning. Sometimes one of these ways just won't seem to work with a given word. It won't bring out the meaning of the sentence. That's okay. The objective is to learn how and when each color of emphasis works. So if some meanings and techniques clash for you, that's part of what you need to learn. And if you're up to it, and you can consider reading through the article again without screaming, you might want to play with which technique works best for each underlined word. While you pick and choose among the 8, you might also try to mix and match, playing with combinations of colors. Of course, you'll get to the point where you don't have to technically sit down and decide which way of emphasizing which word is best for any given sentence. I mean, after all, if you went through this technical process every time, you'd go nuts. It would take you a couple evenings just to mark Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Let's see, once upon. No.
Thanks for listening.